Jose Canseco, you know, the guy that tried to sell his finger on eBay and had to find out that you can't sell a fucking human finger on eBay.
You cannot sell organs or human body parts.
Not need to remind each and every citizen of Rapture that free enterprise is the foundation upon which our society has been established.
Everywhere you go, everything you do, it's always done for death, pain, and miseries. Our men are running from the battlefield. A shameful display!
Some wind.
That sounds alright.
It's not a gay sex thing. I know it might seem like maybe that's...
Oh, then I'm less interested.
Okay, that's fine. No. Today, it's time for the Video Destruct Podcast. Today, we're talking about wind jammers. We're talking about wind jammers. A Neo Geo SNK? It's an SNK?
Yeah, it's an SNK joint.
It's an
SNK Playmore, as they're known now.
Yeah, exactly. SNK Playmore. Playmore. It's the flying disc game wind
flying
jammers.
Power disc
flying power disc game wind jammers. It's basically, we'll get into it, but yeah, it's awesome. It's a great game,
a
Neo Geo classic, and probably one of my, like, retrospectively, this was after it was months ago when you mentioned Wind Jammers to me, and I go, oh yeah, I have played that, and it was amazing. Retrospectively, it's one of my favorite games I've ever played. I never really thought of it that way until now. Like, it's just, I don't know, we'll gush on that game later.
The one thing I'll say about that game before we move on from it here is that, and I'll probably reiterate this several times when we talk about it later, it does the most with the least that I've ever seen.
Yeah, yes, does the most with the least, absolutely, absolutely. And some of the greatest art design I think I've ever witnessed in the game. It is 80s galore. '90s, 80s galore.
You ever seen Top Gun?
You
know that beach volleyball scene?
It's like Top Gun meets American Gladiators. It's amazing. But moving on, let's go on to the news.
Hawk from American Gladiators died.
He did. He passed away like last week.
I didn't know that man had a doctorate.
Yeah, he
was smart guy.
Real smart guy, that dude. Yeah, it's like, I wonder how many of those guys are like really intelligent. I remember Nitro like has like a book and like does tours and stuff.
Well, Jose
all the time.
Canseco has a book.
Well, that's true. I'm just saying. I'm saying he has a biographical about his life as an American Gladiator, and he goes on tours and stuff. And
Jose Canseco, the guy that tried to sell his finger on eBay and had to find out that you can't sell a fucking human finger on eBay.
You cannot sell organs or human body parts on eBay. It is illegal. I just mean that he's entrepreneurial. That's all I meant. Nitro is an entrepreneurial guy. I don't know anything about him.
What about
as
Laser
a human being.
Or Blazer?
I don't know. I wonder what Gemini's up to, honestly.
Ooh.
Gemini, I would
him
love to know.
Him and his twin.
I would love to know what Gemini's up to. But anyway, but on to video game news. Let's
oh, yeah. This is occasionally a video game.
Occasionally we do talk about a video game. Fable 3 is canceled. Or Fable Legends is canceled. I apologize.
Yes.
Fable Legends is canceled, and possibly that studio is shuttering.
Monday morning, I got into the office, checking my email, checking my RSS feeds, and I happened to glance at Twitter, and everybody's blowing up.
Yeah.
Because in Europe, it's later in the day, and this news has already been out,
right,
where Microsoft Studios Europe said that, the company Press Play has been shuttered. The guys behind the game Max and the Curse of Brotherhood.
Oh, yeah.
That was an
okay.
Xbox One game. They have been shuttered.
Okay.
And Fable Legends from Lionhead Studios has been canceled.
Yeah.
And that they are in conversations with the developers there about shuttering the studio and reallocating those resources, or possibly significantly scaling back and focusing that studio. A lot of that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you nobody who follows games, you know, would say that Lionhead has been in a very good place for about the last 5 years or so.
Right.
You know, Fable 3 was not greeted with great ovation.
Mm-hmm.
Fable, the Journey, the Kinect game.
Yeah.
did not get very well received. It's actually a pretty decent Kinect game, but, yeah, like, it didn't light the world on fire.
Sure.
Milo never came to be. You know, there were a lot of resources that were dumped into that project that never materialized. The Fable Anniversary, the remake of the original game on the Unreal Engine 3, had a lot of technical issues with it, which is not necessarily shocking considering that that was their first time working in Unreal Engine.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, their next project was Fable Legends, which I'm currently in the beta for. And I found out that they can't actually yell at you for getting footage of that anymore. I've been in the beta of that game for about a year.
Right.
And we've been yelled at on Twitter a couple of times for talking about it.
We have.
but I can officially say that, yeah, I'm in the beta. We're going to get some footage of it. And we're throwing that shit up on fucking YouTube.
Yeah, we are. Because that's happening.
Because somebody needs to preserve that. Because once the servers are turned off,
yeah,
all remnant of that game is gone forever.
Yeah.
That's it. It's
that's
over.
All. That's all.
That's it and that's all.
That's it. That's all. And we will do that this weekend. Absolutely. We will get that up.
So hopefully sometime next week we should have some probably...
Yeah.
We might do a long look at it, you know, get a 4 or 5 part series out of that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because there's actually quite a bit of stuff to that. They've been adding a lot of content and changing things over the course of the last year. Sure. But I'll be honest, that game wasn't shaping up.
Right.
Whether they keep Lionhead or not...
Yeah.
That game was not shaping up.
It wasn't shaping up.
That's dumping more efforts into that, I didn't feel like was going to fix what's up with that.
Throw more money at it. Maybe it'll get good. No.
It controls real poorly. It's very gun-based, and the gun controls aren't very good.
Gun-based? Really?
You got to think. They keep moving forward in the time period of Albion, and they're getting towards a steampunky era.
Steampunkish. Okay, gotcha. So you're probably like rifles and whatnot. Like,
yeah, a lot of blunderbuss.
Blunderbusses, yeah. Those are always popular. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so, you know, we'll see what the fate of Lionhead is. But
yeah, I wrote an article. It's up on the site. It's got a link to, if you haven't seen it, the actual blog post from the director of Microsoft Studios Europe, whose name is blanking out of my mind right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting time for Microsoft, especially coming off the heels of their Microsoft Spring Games lineup showcase that was in San Francisco the week prior, where Phil Spencer said a lot of somewhat confusing things about the future of the Xbox platform and its unification with Windows 10 and hardware upgradability for consoles.
Really, really melding into the PC there.
That company's doing a lot of really interesting stuff right now.
They are.
And just so since we can't go a podcast this year without talking about VR.
Sure.
They also, the 31st of this month, they're shipping the first HoloLens units to developers. You were chosen to be in the HoloLens developer beta program, you get the opportunity to give them $3,000 for a HoloLens setup.
Wow, there you go.
Those are developer units, so I assume whenever that does actually hit the public,
right,
it won't be that expensive, maybe?
Right.
But HoloLens is the thing.
Yeah.
We're years away from it being viable for everybody to own one at a good price point.
Right.
But that thing has all the hardware in it.
Right.
You don't need a computer with HoloLens.
Right.
You don't need an Xbox with HoloLens.
Right.
It just does it. It's all in there.
Right.
So, that's my dog scratching herself. Willow, can you stop doing that?
Don't do that.
So, yeah.
You're like, basically the mascot of this, but just stop.
Yeah, one of the things that's really interesting with, like, the Vive and, you know, Oculus once it gets its touch controllers and stuff like that is that those devices expect you to look around and walk around and stuff like that, but you're attached to a bunch of cables that are attached to a computer, and all of this shit's expensive. The cool thing with HoloLens is that you're not blacked out in your vision. You can, you're seeing the real world, and it's augmenting your reality.
Yeah.
And there's no cords to trip over. It's just a thing.
To refresh me, that's the thing that they showed the Minecraft thing with the little, the little table.
It's a clear lens. Minecraft.
Right.
You know, I've heard there's a lot of stuff with field of view and that's wonky. Like, basically, imagine you're wearing a set of swimmer's goggles.
Right. Okay.
Except you can see outside of the swimmer's goggles, so you're not locked into a perspective.
Right.
But imagine inside of that, there's a 16x9 box.
Right.
That is invisible to you, where all the augmentation happens, and everything on the glass outside of that is not augmented.
Right.
So it's like a very focused view.
Yeah.
Think like the way that people would describe, remember Google Glass?
Yeah.
How like, oh, it's this little thing, but it seems like a 32-inch TV.
Right, yeah.
Like, there, it's like the idea that you're looking at a really big TV.
Right.
Yeah. But you can still see around it where it's not augmented.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm smart glass is the thing.
Right. Yeah.
You know, sensory deprivation units, I don't think, are the thing.
Right. It's an interesting concept. I don't know how much of a game you can produce with that, or how different, I guess the developers will figure that out when they get their units, but I don't know. It just seems like it would all just be, like, the same kind of deal for each one of them. But I don't know how much variety you would get out of it. You could. I mean, prove me wrong, obviously.
Well, the applications that I'm thinking about for it are...
Yeah.
Okay, so you're playing a game.
Yeah.
You're using a regular TV.
Right.
You're wearing your HoloLens.
Right.
And it's like, oh, what's my health like? And you just kind of look up to the side.
Right. Oh, yeah, and then the
and all your HUD elements
all
are
your
off-screen.
HUD stuff would be off-screen.
You want to look in your bag? Look down.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I wasn't really... That's a good point. I wasn't really thinking of as an add-on to what the game is, rather than the whole game itself.
I view it as more of a supplement to an experience.
Sure, yeah.
Like, the way that they showed it implemented with Minecraft...
Right.
Like, somebody can be there playing Minecraft, and then you can be looking at their world in a different way.
Right, yeah. On your table.
That's you know, another thing they're shipping it with is, like, I think it's called, like, Conquer Beginnings or something. It's actually a Conquer game where it uses your house as platforming levels.
Okay.
So, like, you want, you know, when, and it'll somehow it can figure out that, like, oh, that's a bed, so Conquer can bounce on it.
Yeah, it'll map out, like, certain areas for it to, for him to jump
you can
on,
use everything.
So. Yeah, okay. I can see, so he would be, like, running across the couch here, and then to the arm, then up onto the stereo, up to the, okay, I can see that. That'd be all right. They're pretty cool, you know. I guess they have algorithms for that sort of thing now, you know. Everything's a computer nowadays. It's crazy, you know.
Fuck if I know, bro. I'm just here to play the games.
I'm just here to play the games, man. But yeah, so that'll be
VR.
VR, it's the new thing.
Sony needs to announce some shit about the fucking PlayStation VR sometime in the next week, or we won't have anything to talk about next week.
It'll go the way of the PlayStation Move. Which was actually a better sensor. Which is actually a better motion sensor, but did not.
Too late. So. I've got some real fucking bad news for you.
Oh, yeah? Are they doing a PlayStation Move 2?
The PlayStation VR uses the old Move shit.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, well, that makes sense. So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's just like. Well, the thing is, like the PlayStation Move actually was a better sensor, motion sensor.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Like, it was
one to one.
Hardware wise, it was one to freaking one because it was, you know, it had the tennis ball. It looked like, you know, there's a whole video that goes into,
like, a snow cone.
Basically, yeah. There's a whole video that goes into why it was, like, so much better, but it just failed because it was, like, so much later in the
It was, like,
life
6
stream.
Years later, and
everybody's,
everybody's fucking Wiis were already mothballed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
It was up against the Kinect, which had this marketing thing of, you are the controller. Most of that shit didn't work.
Right.
But if you want to take great experiences I had on the Move.
Right.
And great experiences I had on the Wii, to be honest, and great experiences I had on the Kinect, the Kinect felt new.
Yeah, it was like, it was trying something different from the other.
After about 6 months of the Wii, like, I ended up playing a whole lot of Wii games. I liked the Wii a hell of a lot,
right.
But it was not because of the controller.
Right.
The controller I always felt like was the albatross of that system.
Right.
It hung its hat on the wrong horse.
Right, yeah.
But
there were some games that suffered from that. Specific from the controls, specifically suffered, like, not just like
Twilight Princess,
Twilight Princess, frickin', you know, like I mean, just the gameplay solely for Skyward Sword was based on just swinging in a certain way.
Some games were better, so though. Like, I'll tell you this. If you could play Mario Galaxy or Galaxy 2 without the Wii remote, I would like it less.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because being able to spot all the little star bits, and then fucking whenever you get in one of those things and you're fucking shaking it so you can rocket yourself into the sky, it's awesome.
Well, if Mario does anything, it
proves hardware?
It proves hardware. That's what he does.
He and Kirby do that pretty well.
Him and Kirby prove the hardware. That's what they do. They are built. In fact, like, I would say, like, I don't have any proof of this, but it feels like controllers for Nintendo are based off of ideas for Mario games. The N64 controller, I think, is based entirely on how it felt running around in a 3D Mario game in Mario 64.
Like, I don't think that Nintendo ever understood the Nintendo DS until somebody on their dev team said, I came up with a Kirby game and it's Canvas Curse. And Canvas Curse was the first great DS game.
It's true.
If you've never played Kirby Canvas Curse, go fucking play it. It's dirt cheap.
Yep.
And it's fucking awesome.
It's awesome.
As a proof of concept for that hardware, it is awesome.
You draw shit and Kirby moves and it's awesome. So
yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's like playing Ziplash. Have you ever heard of that?
I've not heard of Ziplash.
That's a weird game.
That's a weird game. But yeah, is that it for news? I don't know. No Man's Sky. Finally got a release date, an official release date of June 21st of this year.
They've been saying June for a while, but now they're hardcore serious about it and announced special editions, and that's a box game, and it's a $60 product or an $80 collector's edition.
From, as you said, a 15-man team.
And they said some interesting numbers about how there's 18 quintillion planets.
Yeah. It's a lot of planets. I don't know.
And they took an interesting tact by saying that, like, well, you know, because one of the first questions I would have, because I think space is fucking bitching, is, well, how many of those are gas giants? And
they
said there are no gas giants in the game.
Really? Okay.
They are all rock planets.
They're all rock planets.
And depending on your outfit, if you have all of the gear in the game, every planet is at least, I wouldn't say inhabitable, but visitable.
Right.
You may not be able to stay there for very long, but you can land and get out and experience every planet in that game.
That's...
You won't be, because, you know, they have been saying for quite a while, that game is a race to the center of the universe.
Right, yeah.
That is your whole goal, is that, like, there's probably some kind of story element in here about, like, there's a star that's collapsing at the center, which is causing a wormhole that if you don't get to, you know, to fire a rocket into or whatever, the whole fucking universe is fucked.
Sure.
But, you know, they talked a little bit more about, they went as far as to say the multiplayer aspect of that game is going to be, quote, journey-like.
Right.
Which leads me to believe that, and they say that you'll almost never see people.
Right.
It will be a rarity for you to see anybody else, because even if this game sells 40 million copies, there's 18 quintillion planets.
Yeah, that's a lot of space.
Yeah.
It's a lot of space to go through.
When you think about how many hours the average person would play it a day or a week.
See, that would be very interesting, just like just a very interesting experience if you did run into somebody. You know what I mean? Because it's like, oh a person! Oh, you know.
Well, that's what, when I played Journey, that was one of the first things that I really liked about that game, is that, like, as soon as I saw somebody, I would just start hitting the chirp button.
I'm going to talk to you with pictures.
My scarf is really long. Look at my scarf. My scarf is cool. Check it out.
Check it out. Let's float over here.
Let's go slide down this mountain.
Let's go float. Journey's a good game.
Yeah. Journey's fucking great.
Phenomenal game.
It was my favorite game the year that it came out.
Oh, there you go. What was that, 2013? 12?
I think that was a 12.
12. Joint. Probably a 12 joint, yeah. I look it up later. There's no possible way to know.
I've beaten that game 4 or 5 times.
Wow, yeah.
I like that game a lot.
That's a good game. It's a good game.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Even by modern standards, I think that is one of the coolest looking games.
Yeah. No Man's Sky. I don't want to call them liars, but I have a hard time scoping out that they're able to do that, but...
Well, it's all randomly generated. They're not building those
resources. That's what I'm saying. They're not building it, and, you know, Minecraft is huge, and people, like, shove things into Minecraft and build mods and make those maps bigger and, you know, like, all the time from just the source code of that. So I guess it's not entirely ridiculous to think that that sort of thing can be...
Here's how I've started to come to terms with it, and not asserting that I'm correct.
Right.
But here's the ways that I can wrap my head around this experience. It's all an algorithm that builds these planets,
sure,
which spreads them across everywhere, and there's some kind of mathematical equation that they have that says, okay, so for this to be a spawn planet for you, there needs to be these five resources so you can build a ship to get to the next sector.
Right.
Once you get to the next sector, you need to be able to build a hyperdrive. So there needs to be these resources on these planets and these sectors for you to do this.
Right.
So really, when you start thinking about it that way,
yeah,
it's you take that and hit the multiply button and yeah, fill out the rest of the pie chart. Yeah. And it's a game.
It is.
And I would say that almost everybody will probably have a fairly similar experience.
Right, yeah, rather than
different. Because you're all driving to the center.
Yeah.
So if there's just tons of duplication in this game and everybody's having basically the same kind of experience,
right,
it all starts to make a bit more logical sense.
Right, yeah.
And I'm not faulting him for that.
Sure.
But that is...
Because, you know,
that's the closest I've been able to get to a peek behind the curtain, right, to go, oh, that's how they did it.
Right, yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Because, yeah, like, when you think about Minecraft, nobody's going to have the exact same experience in Minecraft, but it is all a similar experience. You're going to chop down a tree with your fist. You're going to make a small house your first night to avoid the fucking explodey things, you know, and the giant spiders. That's what's going to happen. Everybody's going to
have
that.
Your world has different geometry in it, but all the same contents are in that world.
Right, yeah.
Except this is stretched out to a universe basis.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, here they're going to look like Brontosaurus, and in your world they're going to look like Brachiosaurus, but guess what? They're still basically the same thing.
They're still long-necked giraffe dinosaur monsters. So
and maybe I'm just a fucking... simple ape man, but like doing that is like the first time I was able to justify this in my brain of, oh, that seems like a video game that people could make.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Because if it's this idea of everybody has a different experience entirely and nobody's gonna have the same experience or do the exact same things, then it's like, well, how do you program that? What do you do to make
that?
How do
I talk to you about what your game's like?
Exactly, yeah. It's like, well, so I built a ship and went off world. What? I burrowed to the center of my planet with a drill. I don't know what you're doing. Like,
I built a lean-to and have been fucking sharpening spears.
I built a wave rider. I'm just going across the sand.
I'm remaking Wave Race 64 in here.
So that'd be amazing if you could just remake other games within it. Kind of like how GTA 5 did. Like, you just make anything else within your dumb game. Oh, that'd be okay.
But yeah, I'm as close to believing that that is a product made by human beings as I have ever been.
No, that makes sense.
In June, I may be completely wrong.
Sure.
This may be a much more complex affair because...
Sure.
And the game's so fucked up to play in a short stint that they didn't even... Whenever they had the press go play it last week, they were like, you get 30 minutes with it. Like, yeah. What are you going to fucking see? Like, everybody... I listened to a few podcasts where they were saying, like, oh, we wouldn't play this game. I was like, oh, I'm curious what these people say. And they all kind of say the same thing, like... I didn't really do anything yet. It seems cool.
Yeah, they only gave us 30 minutes, so I sharpened a spear, and...
No, they all... I think you start with a spaceship.
Right.
So you can fly up and see how quick it is. Like, apparently getting in your ship to out of the atmosphere is like 10 seconds.
Right, yeah.
It's super...
Like, when they showed it on the... On
this
the
is not Kerbal.
Right, yeah. When they showed it on the program, on the thing... their preview, it was just like he hopped in and then he was boom out in the atmosphere, then fighting another starship or something and then landing on a different planet, and it was all within the span of like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, and like in most solar systems that you go to, it sounds like, yo, there's another planet right there.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, here's this, you know, you're worrying about fucking trajectories and orbit ratios. No. Once again,
it's not Kerbal.
This is not Kerbal.
Yeah, like, Kerbal is tough.
I've been watching the guys from Giant Bomb East.
Yeah.
They have this thing called Project Beast.
Yeah.
Where they were trying to get to the moon and back.
Okay.
Well, they've done that. Well, the problem is They had a lot of ships blow up. They stranded a lot of people. They're trying to get all those guys back and bring them back to Kerbal.
Right.
And, like, one guy is just fucking floating in space by himself.
It's like the Martian. But like,
holy shit!
Oh, God. Or more like gravity, I would say, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like gravity.
Yeah. And
yeah. Like, gotta get them home.
It's, like, one of the most stressful things I watch. I'm like, God damn it.
Well, there's one thing I learned from Gravity and the Martian. Do you have a fire extinguisher with you?
You need one of those.
You're going to need one of those to get anywhere in space. Yeah. In case you
guess what? Pure oxygen? Kind of flammable.
Kind of flammable. Oh, man. But anyway, that's it for the news, I think, for this week.
That should cover it.
Should cover it. But you played a lot of games.
I did.
We both played a lot of games because we were at the expo. And
believe it or not, I only played three things.
Three things, but you played the hell out of them, though.
I did.
You did set a high score.
17 years of high scores in my crazy tax machine.
Yeah.
Number one.
Were people crowded around you for that one?
By the end of it, there were like six or seven dudes, and the guy that owned the machine was like,
oh, yeah?
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's your favorite game of all time. You didn't tell him that, did you, when he sat down?
Sucker. He figured it out.
Yeah.
Well, what's great is the guy's like, when's the last time you played this? I said, in the arcade? He's like, yeah. I was like, about 17 years ago.
In the arcade?
Did he
feel unmanned? Like just chopped off his manhood? Like,
well, I don't even think he's like a big crazy tax fan. He just owns a lot of machines. Like, he's the guy that had the Daytona 2 machine.
Right.
Like all the sit-down Sega stuff.
Yeah,
that
was
all his.
That was his stuff, yeah.
I think he got it all from like a movie theater that was closing or something.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, like he was a guy who just had a lot of basement space and was like, fuck it?
But we were at the Louisville Arcade Expo and we played some games. That was one of the games you played. You also played, what was the other game?
The Sorcerer Pinball Machine.
Sorcerer Pinball Machine, that's right, yeah.
Which,
That was cool. Me and my brother did go see that.
Had that badass LED kit put into it. Cool. For those of you who don't know, like, pinball machines, there's a lot of modern LED implementations that people are doing now. So, you know, one of the first things you do when you get a pinball machine is that you replace all the rubbers and then you clean up all the, the playboard and everything, get it all shined up.
Right.
And then one of the next things you're going to want to do is replace all the burned out lights. Well, what you can do now is you can replace those incandescent standard lights that give it that warm glow that you always get.
Sure.
With fucking LEDs. And they fucking burn your eyes, and it makes that machine look so shiny and futuristic. Like, Sorcerer is an old pinball machine.
Right, yeah.
And this thing looked fucking brand new.
Yeah, it did.
And
it looked fantastic, yeah.
It looked fucking gorgeous. It was sitting right next to a Wild Card Poker.
Yeah.
Pinball machine that I had played a little bit while I was waiting for that Sorcerer machine to open up.
I played Wild Card last year.
It's a good pinball machine.
It's a good pinball machine. It's all the old flippers and everything on
put
there.
Put some LEDs in there. That'd be alright.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
But yeah, so I played a little bit of that Sorcerer. I think with LED kits in them, there a lot of purists probably don't like the way that those look because it doesn't look warm and glowy that. But, I did play one other game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I walked by the Asteroids Deluxe machine that they had there.
Right.
And it had this monitor that was so clean. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That vector graphics monitor that they had in that thing
was
razor sharp.
Wow.
And the lines on it looked so good. Like, that's one thing that, if you've never played Asteroids in the arcade, you've never played Asteroids.
Right.
Because without the fucking hard precision of those vector screens,
sure,
everything just looks kind of soft and mushy.
Right.
And
what about the Vectrix? Would you say that you played it if you played on the Vectrix?
Because
it's made
not as good as what you get.
Right.
In the arcade. Yeah. But you're at least in the ballpark.
You're at least in the ballpark for it, sure.
But yeah, I thought that machine looked real nice. But then the last game is what we'll talk about.
Yes,
later.
Yes, it was Windjammers. That's the last game. But anyway, what games you play at home? You played
Woo! All right.
Played a lot of stuff here. Let's run through them.
I got early access to the Bravely Second Lair demo, the sequel to Bravely Default for the 3DS. Mm-hmm. It comes out for everybody else on Thursday, which is the day that you'll probably be listening to this. If you're listening to it the day that it comes out, but it's available for everybody now. Mm-hmm. Cool thing is, for those of you who don't know, it's a Japanese RPG. It's got a really interesting fight style. You know, it's 4-on-4, you know, up to 4-on-4 style battles.
Right.
You know, party systems, ability sets, all your typical Japanese RPG kind of stuff. It's not an active system.
Sure.
It is a passive, I go, you go, I go, you go, mm-hmm. Kind of system. So coming off of playing and finishing Xenoblade Chronicles X,
mm-hmm.
Going back to a traditional battle system was different.
It's tough.
Yeah, and even the more passive stuff that I've been playing lately, like Yo-Kai Watch, are even a lot more active than this, so you're just like click, click, click. Luckily, you can click through almost everything.
Right.
Real quick.
Right.
Which is nice. But yeah, so been playing that. Here's the upside. It's a free demo. It's like 10 hours long, and they say that stuff from your save in this will import to the final game and get you stuff.
Mm.
I don't know if that is level. I don't know if that is items. I don't know if they know what it is.
Just stuff. You'll get stuff. We got stuff for you.
If you have any interest in it, go ahead and download it. The way that they do environments in that game is really cool. When you first look at it, you're like, oh, this looks super low poly and low resolution. It looks weird.
Yeah.
But then when you really look at the architecture in that game, it's like, oh, they wanted it to look like a watercolor painting. Oh, that totally works.
Oh, that makes sense now.
It really does look like a watercolor painting.
Got it.
Yeah, I like it. It looks good. There doesn't appear to be any new 3DS support for it. There's no right stick stuff.
Sure.
No ZR and LR buttons. ZL and ZR button support for that or anything. So it's just a regular 3DS game. So if you've got a 2DS or 3DS, you're not going to be missing anything. It also doesn't appear to have any of that fast load stuff like you get out of the Monster Hunter games.
Hmm.
So, hey, if you got an old 3DS, you're not getting a shitty experience here. Great.
Good job.
But to my knowledge, it's pretty much only Monster Hunter that gives you a shitty experience if you have the old system. And you know what? If you're playing Monster Hunter, you deserve a shitty experience.
Oh, come on. Come on. It's mean. It's mean. I've never played Monhu, but
it's not good. I'll tell you what. Now that you have a 3DS.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll buy one of the older ones and we can try.
We can try some Monhu. I don't know. I don't have much interest in playing Monster Hunter. I just, you know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
I played the demo for the newest one, and like 2 minutes into it, I was like, "Go back to Yo-Kai Watch."
I mean, it feels like a thing that, you know, that I'm sure many people enjoy. It's the
most descriptive statement you've ever said to me.
Well, I mean,
it feels like a thing.
I mean, it feels like a thing that I'm sure, you know, like I can see the reasons why some people would enjoy it. I just don't think it's my type of game that I would enjoy. I mean, whatever. You hunt things and you build more things out of the things you killed, and I don't know. It's like whatever.
It sounds.
I think
like
they
the
run
same.
Funny. I like how they run. They like high step. They're funny when they run.
It sounds like the same kind of people who are way into survival games now are probably the same kind of people that could easily fall into a Monster Hunter hole.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm weird too. Like in the last 6 months, I think I've played like 5 tactical strategy games to completion. Yeah. So maybe I'm the fucking weird.
Well, I mean, you know, it's taste. It's whatever. You know, it's like.
I never was that kind of guy before, though. I don't know what happened.
It was just like tactical strategy game. What? Like. Give me squares that I can shoot arrows from. I'll play that game.
Oh, wait, so we can get into a battle stance? Sweet.
It was Massive Chalice that did it to you. That's what it did. It's like it pulled you in.
And I would play one like every 5 years, but it's never been in rapid succession like this. I've been going from one to the next one to the next one.
Right.
Which is unnerving for me as a person. Bravely Second Lair, take a look at that. You know, I'm continuing to play Fire Emblem Conquest. And getting a high heel shoved into my dick. That game is fucking hard.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You're on like the hardest version though, correct?
I'm playing the hardest mode where you actually lose guys.
Yeah.
Of the hardest version, and holy shit.
Right. Yeah.
It's really hard, you guys!
Do you constantly restart battles because, like, that one guy you need specifically dies, and it's like, I'm gonna need him later, I can't.
Here's the thing, is that, like, I'm okay with losing a guy.
Right.
But more often than not, I'll get halfway through a fight and go, oh no, and then the next turn, everyone's dead. You're like, fuck!
You just realize you're in bad position.
Oh, like, no!
It's like, oh, those dragon riders are on the outskirts of all of my... Oh.
Yeah, you're not sort of getting fucked up. You're getting all the way fucked up.
That's what we say here.
You're getting all the way fucked up.
Put that on a t-shirt.
But, yeah, I think that game's pretty fucking ripping. I continue to enjoy that quite a bit. I also played some... you're going to notice this is kind of a long list because since we've recorded one, it's been almost 3 weeks.
It's been almost 3 weeks.
We had a podcast like a week and a half ago, but it's been like almost 3 weeks since we recorded one.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I played some Soma.
Yeah, played Soma.
That game scares the fuck out of me.
It's a terrifying game.
Eric would never play that game.
No, he would never play that game, especially because it's atmospheric fear. It is not jump scare fear at all.
There's a few of them.
There's a few, but it's just like, but it's not... It's not derivative of jump scare fears. It's not there to make you go, ah! It's there to make you feel bad about what's happening.
There's
you
some know? Guys later that do that.
Oh, that do that? Okay, well, that's
holy
fine.
Holy shit!
I guess I hadn't gotten to that part yet. But from the experience that I
was streaming myself playing this.
Are you really?
I've streamed almost everything.
Oh, wow.
And for whatever reason, I like streaming the game as opposed to playing it alone because then it's like, well, at least there's somebody watching too.
Somebody's watching... Watching me talk to these
so when something these happens to me,
these people that are in robot bodies that are
are some fucking like ghost men later on.
Yeah,
just like, and I have a weird thing like I'm not afraid of water. I'm not afraid of swimming.
Right,
I'm terrified of drowning.
Of drowning. Yeah,
the idea of drowning.
Yeah.
Fucking terrifies me.
Right. I'm in the same realm. It's not drowning. I'm not afraid of water. I'm not afraid of swimming, but I am afraid of things in water. Large things, you know? Or, like, that unknown, like... When
so you don't like swimming in the lakes.
Exactly. When you go into murky water and you're just like, if I were to see some large figure out there, I would just die of a heart attack. That's all that would happen. I would just die. I would just be like, oh!
Good thing this water's murky, because that is shit in it.
It's not okay.
I think, like, if you didn't grow up with a pool...
Right.
You're probably more apt to be the kind of guy that would be fine with swimming in, like, an inland lake. Inland lakes tend to be, for those of you who may not know, kind of muddy, kind of dirty. Yeah. It's hard to see through them.
Sure.
Especially if it's... a lake that like people fish in a lot.
Right, yeah.
They dredge the lake a lot. It gets very hard, very, very low visibility.
Right.
In those things. Like the ocean, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I'll swim in the ocean because there's something right there.
Yeah. Well, the ocean is like, see, it's a funny thing. Like, the ocean, if I'm at the coast, I'm at the beach, I have no problem going in the ocean. No problem going out there. But if we were on a yacht or something, like out in the middle of the ocean.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
And they jump in. No.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not doing that.
Not doing that. It's not happening.
You know, you're probably safer out there, but I'm not doing that.
I'm not doing that ever. Ever. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, because, like, the sharks are probably closer to the fucking...
Right?
You know,
I'm saying.
Like, anyway.
Yeah, it's like, whales don't hunt humans, but I just, like... The idea of getting swallowed by a whale is just terrifying to me. Or some sort of, like,
that's
large
a great
creature.
Mental image of you having a dolphin brush against you and you're going like, ah! It's a whale! It's gonna hate me!
That's a dolphin. That's a dolphin. It's not
put your finger in his blowhole and hate it.
Don't do that. Don't put fingers in blowholes.
I do all the time.
Don't do that.
But yeah, Soma...
Soma's terrifying.
Oh.
You're in an underwater facility. There's people. It's
here's the thing. This game avoids one of the major issues that Amnesia, their prior game, Amnesia the Dark Descent, suffered from.
Right.
In the sense that it was all fairly similar kinds of encounters after the first few.
Sure.
And it felt the same.
Yeah.
Outlast wasn't scary after a while because you figured, well, I'll just die, whatever.
Just
I've
die,
seen all back. The enemy types.
Right.
Fine, whatever. Like, it's... I'm not scared of the same guy that I saw before.
Right.
This game where they continue to vary it up.
Yeah.
Is unnerving.
It's
un-fucking nerving.
It is, and the fact that like a lot of the terror comes from the decisions you make, it kind of has that PT outcome of like you have to do this to advance. Like, oh, okay, so I have to go in that room and unplug the thing that's telling me not to unplug it. Great, like so, you know, it's just it's
consciousness of humanity is trapped within robots in this universe. Like, yeah. Something horrible happened.
Yeah,
I
feel like, you know, it's like this subterranean thing where people would put their consciousness into working robots, and then something bad happened, and their consciousness stayed in the robots.
And it's
unnerving. It's like, yeah.
And I don't want to go too far into spoilers, because sure. I haven't finished this game. I'm not really even that far in this game yet.
Sure.
But it has something to do with the fact of robots can't run themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Humans don't live forever.
Right.
These humans had to leave. They had to go back to the shore.
Yeah,
they had to leave this underwater facility.
Yeah.
Well, as this facility is continuing to get built so that they can build this cannon to shoot people into fucking space.
Yeah.
What if you could just kind of leave a part of your own personality here inside this robot so that it knows what to do because you're smart enough and it will just continue to do this. Well, at what point, what is the definition of humanity?
Yeah, what are you and what's the robot at that point? If it's firing the same synapse and has the same memories and believes it to be you.
And when it looks at itself, it sees human.
Yeah. Yeah,
it still has synapses that believe it is experiencing pain.
Yeah. Oh,
what is the definition of humanity at a certain point? Like, granted, every game has been doing this later.
Yeah.
Black Ops 3 did this. Soma did this. Aether 1 did this.
As we said before the podcast, it's the new zombies. Like the definition of humanity is the new zombies of video games now.
Well, and we're finally at something that, like, fuck zombies.
Yeah.
I've been wrestling with this steampunk fucking diasporic fucking nightmare in my own mind for years.
Right, yeah.
Like, I have always wondered this question about, like, what... There is a natural, inherent view that human beings have that we are somehow better than everything else on this planet and everything that we have created.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
It's and at what point do we break the rule? If we are right, if you take 100% belief and stock in the idea that we are better, if you start implanting yourself and your consciousness and your ability to free think, your ability to problem solve into something else, when are they better?
Yeah, when are they better than you? Yeah,
I love that.
It's great. It is. It's classic sci-fi at its most.
I love it.
But what's brilliant about it is that they've taken a classic sci-fi concept and
flipped it over
and incorporated it into H.P. Lovecraftian horror.
Oh yeah,
which is what they did with Amnesia. That was straight up H.P. Lovecraft horror, and that's what they did with this. And I love it. I think it's.
Did you hear that the guys who make the fucking Sherlock Holmes games announced a new game yesterday?
No, I didn't.
It's based on the Sunken City.
Oh,
the fucking Cthulhu story.
So it's going to be him
and it's open world.
Interesting. So there you go.
And
Sherlock versus Cthulhu.
I fucking want that game. It's not a Sherlock game.
Oh,
it's based on the Sunken City, so it follows Cthulhu story.
Okay. I see.
In the Sunken City, it's the guys who made
the Sherlock. Got it. Okay. I thought you meant they're putting Sherlock against Cthulhu.
Although they totally could. They put him against Jack the Ripper.
They did do that. Yeah.
So I didn't read anything that made it sound like Sherlock's in this though.
Right. But it's just the people.
They've made enough Sherlock games that I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up at some point. Fucking pipe.
That's fantastic. Oh, yeah, no, that sounds awesome, though. But no.
Fucking Walter Day and his fucking guitar.
It's Walter Day and his fucking guitar. But yeah.
But yeah, Soma's awesome.
Soma's great.
I will continue to play that.
Yeah. What else did you
play? I don't know what we're going to do about video for that game.
Right? Is it? Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to have a let's play of that game because it's really slow paced.
It's not even necessarily about a let's play, it's about. Where do I set the start of this so that I don't accidentally give it away?
Right, yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I feel like in some ways I've probably already said too much, but a lot of this can be gleaned from the first 20 minutes of this game.
I feel like the way to go is to have Eric play it.
I don't want Eric to play. I want someone to play it.
Well, no, like we'll be there to advance it, so like to tell him to do stuff. But yeah,
he fucking just stands there.
He does.
He's the worst.
He did it with Outlast forever. We made no progress in Outlast until you.
Until I grabbed the controller, and then like in three episodes, we did like five times as much.
He really does just freeze up in those situations.
Guess, you know why we keep dying? Because we're not moving.
Because we're not moving towards any sort of situation here.
But yeah, so I played that, and you know, I've got a few others, but I'll really wrap this up with a bang here.
Why
new
not?
Release of this week. I've been playing The Division.
The Division.
I've
Tom Clancy's The Division.
I've gotten a little bit past where the beta content was. There was a little bit of server wonkiness yesterday. We're recording this on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little bit of server wonkiness. Sounds like it was more so on the PC. I came home yesterday from work, went for a run, and about 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, you know, when people from the West Coast are going to be, you know, the early people will be starting to get home, like, that's going to be the highest traffic part of it. I hopped on and I just fucking played.
Right.
Everything worked. I'm playing on the PS4. Given how fucked up the Xbox online shit's been lately,
right?
I just didn't feel like messing with it.
Sure.
So I got it on the PlayStation, and I've already been accused of being a Sony fanboy. This is me audibly shaking my head.
All right.
All you've been talking about is PlayStation lately. Yeah, well, that's all I've been playing lately.
I mean, it's all, like...
Well, that, and I spent half of the podcast talking about my fucking 3DS.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, well, that's what I'm saying, is, like you... When earlier in the year, you were accused of being a Nintendo fanboy, because...
And then last year, because I was mainly just playing my Xbox, was like, fucking Xbox fanboy.
You own all of them, and play them all consistently, well, not consistently.
Like, well, I hopped from one to the other to the other.
You'll get into stints, and that's
my
what
Wii U, like, you know, over the course of the 3 months I've owned it, I spent about 150 hours on that between Splatoon, Super Mario Maker, and Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Yeah.
Guess what? That thing's getting a workout. We're okay.
Nintendo fanboy.
And next week I'm buying a PlayStation 3, so maybe I'm a PS3 fanboy.
Yeah.
GameStop's got a pretty good deal going.
Oh, yeah.
The first generation Slims, $168.99.
There you go.
That's not bad.
Some Slims.
I'll get one of those.
Yeah, why not?
I need another one. I got rid of mine because I wasn't convinced that my system was built to last.
Right.
So when they had a promotion going on, that's what I traded in towards my PS4. And I've kept all the games. I just don't have anything to do with them.
Yeah, they're just sitting there.
Plus, they're still giving away all those PS Plus games.
Yeah.
So I've got like 400 and something games for my PS3 that I can't use.
Can't even use because you gave it away, because you sold it there.
But,
that's fine.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm playing The Division on PS4. That game looks great.
Yeah.
I have concerns.
Yes.
I hope there's variety in this game later on.
Right. Yeah.
I expressed a little bit of this when we played the beta.
Sure.
Something tells me that probably about a month from now I might be done. I think I'll get 50, 60 hours out of this game easy.
Sure.
But I don't think this is a game I'll languish in. There's not a ton of variety in the environments. It, you know, like you start off like there's missions before the beta started.
Right.
Like, when the beta starts, it's where they drop you in Manhattan.
Yeah.
The game actually begins in Brooklyn.
Right.
Okay. So there's basically, here's your intro tutorial area.
Right.
If you saw all the Bureaucracy Simulator screenshots of the people standing in line, that's at the first safe house in Brooklyn.
Yeah,
apparently,
okay.
The authentication shit to give you the first mission wasn't working right on the PC yesterday.
Okay.
So there's like 40 people standing in line at this desk, and they're all in an orderly line. And somebody just put Bureaucracy Simulator 2016. And I thought that was pretty okay.
That's pretty funny.
You know, they're all in their little military outfits and just waiting for their orders.
Just waiting for the orders.
Sir, I'm here for my orders.
I'm here for my orders, sir.
But yeah, I'm really having a good time with it. You know, I like the shooting. I hope they got some tricks.
Yeah.
Because I just... One of the reasons that Destiny works is that, yeah, you do a lot of the same stuff, but you go different places. The skyboxes are different. This place has different kinds of enemies. You know, like, in Destiny, I think there's five different races that you fight, and then there's different kinds of enemies within all the races.
Yeah.
And it gives you just a diverse amount of people to shoot. Like, if I'm going to spend 60 hours just shooting thugs in the face, I don't know, man. yeah. Granted, I'm still early. Sure. I don't think that that should deter you. If you're looking for a distraction for the next month,
yeah.
until Dark Souls come out, until, you know, Quantum Break comes out, until, Uncharted comes out. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming out this spring.
Yeah.
Doom.
Yeah. A lot of stuff coming.
If you're a big dork like me, you're picking up Valkyria Chronicles HD.
Because you're a big nerd.
I'm a fucking dork. but yeah, I'm pretty into that game. I like its representation of New York. I think it looks really nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty Clance.
So if
you're into Clance.
Pretty down with the Clance.
It's Mad Clance.
Mad Clance going on in there.
We should call this episode, this game is pretty Clance. This
game is pretty Clance.
We never name it what we say.
No, we never name what it's going to say.
No, because we forget.
I forget all the time, and I don't feel like listening to this whole thing again just to find that spot.
I don't either. I usually see what snippet you put at the front of the podcast, then I just move on.
Occasionally I'll listen to the full thing if it's entertaining.
Part of me hoping that this week is us talking about water.
It will probably be one of those spots.
just look for the waveform.
That's typically what I look for, is just like a really loud waveform, and we're going back and forth. And I'll just listen to that and be like, all right, that works.
But yeah, I think The Division... hey man, they had a pretty fucking smooth launch day, you guys.
Yeah, that's freaking new. Like that's an accomplishment on its own, right?
Well,
there.
And
for
the most impressive part about that game across the board for me,
yeah,
is that game had a simultaneous worldwide launch time.
Right.
So it wasn't like, at midnight at all these time zones across the world, so at an hour, here's another an hour. No, it was 9 o'clock East, 9 o'clock Pacific time on Monday night. So midnight Eastern.
Right.
The server's just unlocked. So if you had preloaded, it's on.
Right, yeah.
And that's... way to go.
Pretty good.
Way to go. It was fucked up for like an hour.
Right.
And then after that, everybody's like, oh, it's pretty fine now.
Yeah.
And the PC had probably the most trouble out of any of them.
Yeah.
Just because there's no secondary fallback servers for the PC. They're hosting that themselves.
Okay.
So they were just like, call the data center.
call them up. What's going on with that?
Yeah, somebody call Rackspace. Have them flick on a couple more servers.
But yeah, if that's all we got for what you've been playing,
yeah,
I'm sure you played other stuff too because it's been a while. But still,
I'm satisfied with that.
On the roundup, let's talk about the one other thing that you played at the Louisville Arcade Expo that we played the hell out of. And
what else did you play?
Before we get here, I played some Sunset Riders. I played a lot of I kind of went back to a lot of stuff that I played the last time. But I did get some Samurai Showdown in with my brother. That was awesome. Played some Sam Show. Played a little bit of Nakururu. She's my girl. Love that game. Fabulous old school. The Neo Geo title, actually.
Did you sit down and play any of the Unreal Tourney LAN?
I didn't.
I played a round of that, so yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you played a round of the Unreal Tourney. Was it Unreal or was it Quake?
It was Unreal. At first glance, I thought it was Quake, and then when I sat down, I went, oh, this is Unreal.
Okay, yeah. They had a cool 8-person LAN. Next year, they're going to do a 16-person LAN. They're going to keep expanding
that. Dig it.
Because they got a good response out of that, which is pretty cool. Other things, I played some Sunset Riders. I participated in the MK tournament that my brother participated in once again. I got past round one. I'm happy with that. That's all I did. My brother came in third this year rather than second. So he did very well again. What else did I play in that thing? I played a lot of Bust a Move or Puzzle Bobble as it were, which is a little puzzle game with the Bubble Bobble characters where you fire little bubbles at colors.
That was in that Neo Geo machine.
It was, yeah. I played a lot of Neo Geo in this fucking thing.
I've got Puzzle Bobble here, so if you want to play that. I also have Money Puzzle Exchange.
You do have Money. Okay, that's right. All right, cool.
Which is a better
Yeah, that's puzzle right. Game. But yeah, I played quite a lot of Neo Geo now that I think about it. I played some Alien vs. Predator, which is great. We played... Alien vs. Predator is cool. Just the beat 'em up? Yeah. I beat it. I beat the queen. So, you know, with these two other girls that I was talking to. So it was more talking to the girls than anything. That was the nicer part of it.
So I gotta know. Did you get some digits?
I did not get digits, no.
Fuck off.
I have barely any game, dude. Just don't ask. I barely have any game anymore.
Just assume no.
Just assume if Brandon, like, did Brandon get digits? No.
No, he didn't.
He did not. I played a lot of games, though. I jumped around to a lot of things. I played Wild Cards again. Played a little bit of the Wizard, Sorcerer's Pinball Machine. Mm-hmm. Played that. I jumped around to a lot. I almost one-shotted Mario only three lives. I almost one-shotted the whole thing.
Nice.
Got to 8-3 and died twice in a row really stupidly, and I felt terrible about it. But yeah, I almost won.
I can get to 8-2 or 8-3 without dying at all.
I'm saying,
easy.
Right? Yeah. God,
but I'm so out of shape at those last couple levels.
8-2 just has some of those little parts. I died once on 8-2, and then I got to 8-3 and just died in quick succession. Was like, damn it. So, but right. Yeah.
Well, that's over.
Yeah, that's over. So yeah, almost one shot at that. That was fun. But yeah, the thing I played the most of and got a lot of my friends into, everybody else who I brought in to play this game got into it. And even people who came up to watch us play it got into this game. And that is our old-ass game for today.
I'll have you know. Undefeated.
Undefeated, you were in that game. I got you on, like, two sets, I think. Out of all the times that we played, I beat you, like, two.
Like, most guys, I was
two out of the eight
sweeping
sets.
Out yeah, like, without even getting to the third set.
I got you to two sets to the two times that we played. I was proud of that. But we played Windjammers. Our old-ass game for today is Windjammers. And that game is rad.
Yes.
It is awesome. It is an SNK joint. It is the Power Disc game.
I found a Neo Geo CD.
Did you? That's what we played.
Once you give me my money,
yeah,
I am buying a Neo Geo CD.
Awesome.
And getting a copy of Windjammers.
Well, then I haven't sent more incentive to pick that up at the bank and hand that to you. So, but yeah, basically, Neo Geo. This is one of the most expensive games out there. Period. Is it the most expensive game on the Neo Geo cart system?
No.
Is it not? Okay.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, so I guess all of those are like 600,
no,
700.
No, Garou Mark of the Wolves is
like
1500 bucks.
Yeah, you have Mark of the Wolves on your cabinet, though, at least. I love that
The
game.
MBS version is considerably less expensive. Like,
okay.
The AES home unit stuff.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, something will be really cheap in AES, but expensive in MVS,
right.
Or vice versa.
Right.
It's never the same both ways.
Right, yeah,
like, you can get an MVS Mark of the Wolves for fucking $50.
Yeah.
But you want that home one, especially if it's complete.
Yeah.
You know, $1,500 to $2,000.
Searching around on eBay, I was just searching around on eBay, and the cheaper one is the disc version, obviously, for Neo Geo disc system. I was shopping around, I saw some small posters for Windjammers, and I was like, I'm gonna buy those because they're like $3. Like, might as well get some of that. But no, Windjammers is a super 90s video game in which two players basically play Pong with a frisbee. I don't know. When you have the disc, you basically are playing frisbee trying to get it into three separate pointed goals. Typically, it's two 3-point goals and 1 5-point goal. There are certain other stadiums that will have 2 5-point goals on the end and a 3-point goal on there. But the 5-point goal is always the smaller of all of them. So it's always the smaller trend. Cool thing about this game is the simplicity of the controls. There are only two buttons allowed, and really you only use one of those. It's one button and a directional pad, and that's it. Or joystick, whatever you want to call it. Whatever, you know, system you have it on. when you hit the B button, or the action button, whatever it would be, I guess. Is it a B button on the thing? Because we had, like, Famicom controllers.
It's the red button.
It's the red button. Yeah, the red button will basically, if you do not have the Frisbee in your control, you will dive across the landscape where you're at on your side. If you have the disc in your hand, the B is what throws it. The directional pad is the way you dive, the way you throw, the way you, all of that, you know, so, basically going back and forth, like, if you want to give it a little bit of a curve, you can do a little fireball motion, and your guy will do a little bit of curve with the Frisbee, and, it ricochets off the walls and everything, and you have to get it past the other person, just like in Pong. There is an option, the A button was broken on one controller, so we didn't utilize this very much, because it was, felt kind of like,
it's a lob, advantageous. Isn't it?
It's a lob. You lob it up into the air rather than it'll go over them, but they have a chance to go underneath it, and, you know, it'll tell them where it's going to land, so they have a chance to go underneath it and probably get a special out of it, so it's kind of a risk. But if they're crowding the net, kind of a good thing to do is just lob it over them and you'll get 2 points. So,
because if you want to create separation, there you go.
Yeah, if you want to create separation, that's how that works. We didn't use it because one of the buttons was broken on the other controller, on the first player controller, so we didn't use it all that much. But also what you can do with this game, if you hit the B button standing still, you do a blocking motion. And if you hit the blocking motion in a certain manner, you can knock the disc upward into a flipping motion, and while you're underneath it, you can mash that B button until you get charged up. And you charge up your power meter, and then you do a...
Totally Dragon Ball Z totally the whole thing.
Dragon Ball Z it, and you do a little special move that's integral to each character. Like, Mita does the I looked him up. The Fire Snake is what the Japan version... The Fire Snake.
You want to see my Fire Snake?
You want to see a Fire Snake? Kate Vessel, the German, he does Blitzkrieg!
yeah, he does.
So yeah, there's names.
I call this move the Volkswagen. The
Volkswagen Blitzkrieg. Yeah, but like they'll do different things. Like the Blitzkrieg like does like a directional thing where it's like it goes forward, then up, then forward, then down, then forward. And it's really annoying and hard to block and great. The guy from the UK will always like spin it to one direction on the either down or up on the wall, and it spins across the wall into the other goal. Great stuff.
Well, and if you you know, for these power techs, they can all be blocked.
Yeah, all can be blocked. All can be countered as well. If you have good timing, you can actually hit the B button when you're blocking, and you will redirect it with the same motion and power back at the other person.
Well, and that's the other thing that I was going to mention is that when you block these, depending on how charged up they were before they threw it, it will knock your character back.
Yes.
And if you're too close to your goal, it will knock you into your goal, and they will score points.
That's right, yeah.
So there's quite a few factors at play in this. There is the number one thing that I would bear in mind is that this game is all about power.
Yeah.
It's all about speed, precision, and power.
Yeah.
I am a great button masher. I'm a jammer from way back.
Sure.
And, you know, I also have very good timing, when it comes to games like this. So I was consistently launching, you know, most every shot that was coming my way back up into the air so I could do the charge attack, right, so that I could get my specials out.
Yeah.
Another thing that can happen is that if I throw a special at you and you catch it and you throw a special back at me and you do that 3 times,
yeah,
it does kind of like an ultra.
Yeah.
Where it will do one that is unblockable.
Oh, really?
I've not figured out how to fucking block it. I got to throw one at me and I was like, fuck! But it may not be completely unblockable. It may be another one of those things where the hitbox window for it is so small that if you don't launch that thing immediately,
yeah,
you just get thrown into the net.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's probably a hitbox window thing. I don't think that they would have something that's completely unblockable in this game.
Sure.
But it's probably just incredibly demanding and specific.
Yes.
I like that game. You know, yes, there are 3 classes of character, 2 characters for each class. Mm-hmm. So you've got your beginning, your moderate characters, and then your high skill levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every character has a different style special for themselves.
Yeah.
This game, hey, guess what? if you've played a Neo Geo game before, you know what this game looks like.
Yeah.
They just look like that.
Yeah.
They all have, you know, characters look like SNK characters fucking always do. Whether you're playing Neo Turf Masters or Samurai Showdown, guess what?
Yeah.
One guy's got a sword, one guy's got a golf club. You know, they just...
They look good.
They look great.
They look good.
This game, when it came out on the AES, was kind of famous for the fact that it was a 74 mega cartridge.
Oh, wow.
And we were making a big deal about 16 mega cartridges.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking 74.
74 mega cartridge, my God.
I think it looks like a weird VCR tape.
It's so many bits.
But, yeah, like, this game actually did come to the States in arcade and home form. What's most common is the arcade, I mean, the Japanese language version of it.
Right.
But just like any SNK game, kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's most everything's written in English anyway.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain we were playing a Japanese version of that game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Because they would say the words, and it was like, yeah, that's a Japanese name. Like, they're saying the Japanese, well, the announcers said English words, though.
Pretty sure that they always do.
Yeah, they probably always do. So.
Like, the guy from Metal Slug! Marco!
Well, my favorite thing about the announcer girl, the referee girl that would pitch out the Frisbees, is when you get a lob on somebody, and it just hits the ground, and they didn't, like, pick it up on the lob, if you don't get in a goal, you get 2 points. So she just, like, casually goes, 2 points. Because, like, it's like, 3 points! 5 points! Like, when she hits the goal. But when it hits the ground, 2 points.
And every time that disc hits the ground and you don't catch it, you're just fucking pissed.
You feel mad at yourself. Like, I cannot believe I just did that.
I thought I had stopped so that I could launch this thing, but I was still in motion, so when I hit B, it caused me to dive, and then the disc hit the ground, and now I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah. It's hilarious. There's so much... The game feel of this game is just is really there. Like... You feel good when you do anything. When you do a basic thing of just, like, diving to block the hit. Like, it's not like, you know, like with Pong, like, you know, like, let's take it down to its bare basics of Pong, right? You move the paddle up, you hit the ball right back.
Or air hockey.
Yeah, or air hockey. Something like that. Like, air hockey, you're actually physically doing it, so there's a little bit more, you know, to it. But, like just with Pong, it's like, oh, look at that, I knocked it back, and now I'm knocking it back. You can get into a good rally with Pong, obviously, and you can get kind of into it, but just the simple matter of diving for that goal, where your character does this diving roll and it catches that, it's so good! It feels so good to watch the character do that and be like, aha, I blocked it! And then to immediately get up and toss it with, like, some speed to it, you know, it's like, ah, I'm getting into a rhythm, I understand what's going on. When you crowd the net, you feel like you're being aggressive. Everything you do, you feel like you're actually doing on that sandpit where you're throwing a frisbee. It just, I don't know, it has such a good feel to it in a game perspective of what you're doing. I don't know.
I think in terms of video games, you know, since, and this is something that we haven't really talked about very much on this program, because we haven't talked that much about arcade games.
Sure.
But this is a very good arcade game.
Yes.
Because, you know, you're getting quite a bit of value in time at a machine for your quarters.
Yes.
You know, for 50 cents, you're playing potentially three sets.
Mm-hmm.
In here, it's, you know, think tennis rules.
Yeah.
It goes to 25 points.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever gets to 25 first, or when time expires, you move on to the next set.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's best of three.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so you're getting, twos for, you know, a disc hitting the ground, 3 points for the yellow centers, and then, the 5-pointers are red, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Five not great red. With colors.
Yeah.
That's not really my thing. But yeah, I think there's a good deal of, you know, of churn that you're getting out of this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're getting a good amount of time in front of it, but at the same time, I was compelled, you know, like, if I would have lost,
yeah,
I would want to hit that start button again.
Yeah, yeah.
I would want to throw 50 cents in that machine
again. Yeah, exactly.
And it has a good capacity for keeping the consumer at the machine. It's not just the old gauntlet philosophy of, well, they need to throw another quarter in here, and we need to find a way to make them throw another quarter in here.
Right.
That game, through its charms, through its sharpness, through its, you know, impressive design.
Yeah.
I would say that that game beckons you to throw more money in it. I mean, you know, look at what I was just talking about. I am going to buy a machine to play this game.
Yeah. I mean, and not only that, but it also has something that we demonstrated when I invited some of my friends to come play it. It has pickup and play value like nobody's business. Once you understand how that game works, anybody can play this game. It is not hard. It is not, like, super difficult. You can get better at it, obviously, but and people gradually do, because it's easy to understand and easy to pick up. People will gradually get better. And
I was bad that your brother wouldn't play against me.
Did he? Would he not play against you? No. Oh, okay, that's funny.
He saw me smoke everybody. I was like, no.
No, I'm not going to do that. My brother doesn't like to lose.
I can tell.
So when he sees a situation where he knows he's not going to win, he does not appreciate it. Or he does not engage in that very much. He doesn't like to lose. But again, like he beat me. And again, I don't profess to be good at this game at all. But I've played the game before. And my brother beat me in the first game that we played that I played against him. First time ever picking that game up. I've played it, you know, many times that day prior to that, and I played it in the past in an arcade machine, and he beat me in our first, like, best of three sets, and I had to, like, beat him twice after that just to get it back at him. But, you know, it's like, all right, best two out of three, let's do this. And, you know, that's how it works. And then Evan got really good at it, too. Like almost, like, he started, like, picking it up and going, like, okay, how do you do that? I can curve the thing by doing this, by doing a Dragon Ball, doing a Hadouken motion. I can curve it. There's lots to this game. With its, as you said before, it does a lot with a little. Like, it just does.
And, yeah.
I don't know. I can't gush about it enough. It feels good to score a point. It feels good to block. It feels good to charge up. It's just like when you get your superpowered hit off, and just like when somebody blocks it, you're just like, oh, you know, it's like you feel bad that somebody blocked your shot. I like it. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. I would typically go for the speed characters. I liked Mita, Hiromi Mita, which is the Japan person in there. They're designated by their nation.
Is she your waifu?
She's not my waifu, no. I liked playing her. No, I'm not a freaking my waifu.
I just learned what waifu was.
You learned what waifu was? Yeah. Like, your waifu. She's not my waifu.
That was the first thing that Nate told me when I told him I'd watched some anime. He's like, you got yourself a waifu yet?
And you're like, I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that means. But no, because I like the fact, I like playing with speed. That's just me. When
I feel that way in Dead or Alive, I always pick the fast female characters.
Right.
Plus boobs.
Yeah, plus boobs. I mean, you know, boobs. But no, and there's the power characters at the bottom, which are, I think, U.S. and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
Whistle.
Whistle.
Nuclear whistle.
Well, that's Russian. Yeah, nuclear whistles. But no, so we basically, like... They don't cover as much ground as quickly, and I typically like to go... And again, like, they say it, beginning, medium, expert. I think that just means, like... I don't know how that... What they mean by that.
I think expert characters, from what I was able to glean, expert characters throw it harder.
Yeah.
So whenever you are receiving a shot from those guys...
Yeah.
Your window to catch it is smaller.
It's smaller.
But your character is more spry, so that you can, you know, basically catch a disc that I would not.
Right. And I typically like to cover more ground with it. I played a few times. I played the power characters. I just want to see what their specials were, because I just like checking out everybody's special. I think I saw all of them, I want to say. I did. Maybe not Spain. I can't remember. But no, I don't know. It's interesting because...
It's a train bomb.
Yeah, it's a train bomb. What's a train bomb?
There's always train bombings in Spain.
You're terrible. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to leave that in here. Anyway, so... You know, I don't know. The thing is, like... The more I think about it, the system that I played the most whenever I was at the bowling alley or at Aladdin's Castle didn't have one. there was a bowling alley that had a Neo Geo machine, and whenever it had something new in it, I would always be right there. I loved playing Samurai Showdown. I loved playing King of Monsters. Was it called King of Monsters? Mm-hmm. Yeah. King of Monsters. I loved playing those games. I played
Metal Slug.
Metal Slug was in there.
Turn into the zombie and vomit blood of people.
You know, Mark of the Wolves I played in other places. I think I played Windjammers at a church lock-in. I think that's where I played it.
King of Fighters 98.
King of Fighters, all the King of Fighters games were always better on a Neo Geo than any sort of port anywhere else.
All those fucking SNES ports, the fucking Fighters games of Fatal Fury were fucking terrible.
Terrible! They were awful. I didn't know that until I played on the Neo Geo.
They played a Heroine. Oh.
Of course, I didn't play fighting games when I was young, so not typically. Unless it was something weird like King of Fighters or King of Monsters, you know. I don't know, man. This one just sort of took me by surprise. The fact that they had it up there, they probably had it up there last time. I even talked to some of the guys that were there, and they said they wanted to get a version for it to be projected up on for a tournament. So they want to do a tournament next year for it.
So guess who's going to win that tournament next year?
Yeah, I'll be practicing. I'll be practicing to beat you. It'll happen. I'll train.
Machine will be at my house.
I'll train my body. I will get an emulator and...
I sent a great mental image of me following you on a bicycle as you run.
In a pink hoodie. I'm in a pink hoodie at New York at night. Oh, that's a good game, too. We should play Punch Out on the Wii. That's what we should do.
I own it.
Yeah.
I have it for the Wii.
We should play that and talk about it. Because it's basically the same game, but, like, cooler.
There's no Vodka Drunkinsky in it, though.
Well, he wasn't in the original either.
He was.
Well, was it the arcade?
He was in the arcade pre-PlayChoice 10 machine.
Well, then they changed him to Soda Popinski.
It's just like Tapper wasn't root beer Tapper. It was an Anheuser-Busch-sponsored bar-only game about fucking pouring these alkies some fucking beers.
Yeah, but it was like root beer. So, and for the, because they couldn't do alcohol content. But no, in the new one, it's Piston Hondo, not Piston Honda.
In the arcade, originally, he was Piston Detroit.
Oh, that's right, he was Piston Detroit, that's right. And then, they changed it to Hondas. they didn't want to get sued in the new one, so they changed it to Hondo, interestingly enough. Great Tiger's still nice and racist, though, so we're all good. I don't know if you can call it racist because they make fun of everything. So it's like, I don't know.
Glass Joe, like, in the new one, it's super racist because whenever, instead of having, like, birds fly around his head, it's fucking croissants.
It's baguettes and croissants. Croissants. It's more nationalist than racist. It's more jingoistic. Is that the term that people use?
Whoa, I feel like that's racist. No. I don't even know what that word means.
It's like where you're like, oh, America or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's dumb.
I thought that was xenophobic.
No, it's all dumb words. People are offended by things, so they make up words to make them
sing. You know what? We're at the end of this podcast. Windjammers is great.
Windjammers is awesome. We're going to play a game.
All right. Microtransgression. Is that the same?
You want to talk about microtransgressions? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about microtransgressions.
5 minutes to talk about this fucking dumb thing I just learned about.
Talk about microtransgressions, please.
You know my parents would have called microtransgressions?
Microaggressions.
Microaggressions.
Microaggressions, sorry, yes.
You know what my parents would have called that?
What are they called?
Being a bitch.
You're bitching. Quit bitching.
Shut the fuck up. We're from Detroit, goddammit.
I was so happy when you mentioned that at the Arcade Expo that you learned what those were. I was like,
right?
Oh,
Billy Mitchell's getting ready to walk out on stage, and I'm like, some microaggressions.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. Yeah, microaggressions.
There's a guy behind me that, like, was listening to our conversation, and I could feel him wanting to high-five me as we're talking about this.
Oh, man. It was just
fucking people.
Fucking people. You precious little snowflakes that can't deal with fucking life. Oh, microaggressions. Oh, no.
Oh my god, when I fucking googled it and I was like,
like what would a person who's like actually experienced real racism think about that sort of situation? Like someone who's actually like experienced like hard on for real racism in their life.
Yeah, there's an old man in Mississippi who had a cross burnt in his front yard. Right?
Yeah,
that's fucking reading a message for him, going, "Well, that's just some bullshit."
Well, just shut up. Like, really? Oh man. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, and you know, like I would say that most people who know me, I'm very direct, but I'm right. A very progressive individual when it comes to social topics.
Sure.
I'm accepting of fucking everybody.
Yeah.
I like everybody.
As do I.
You know what I don't appreciate?
Yeah.
Is when you're taking away from people's ability or desire to care about actual issues by somehow making it all about you all the fucking time.
Thank you. That is exactly right.
But how does this affect me?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Who gives a shit how it affects you? It's not about you. Like, it doesn't have to always be about you, special snowflake. I'm sorry.
But I'm beautiful and unique too.
Yeah, I know. It's I don't want to get, we don't get political on here.
No.
But it's just like, there's certain, like, you know, there's just bitching.
Find real problems.
Exactly. It's the definition of first world problems. Like, you have lived a comfortable life with nothing to really complain about, and so now you're complaining about male pronouns. Shut up.
You know, I was on The Onion the other day, because whenever I'm having a bad day, I just go there for 5 minutes and it fixes literally anything that's wrong with me.
It can absolutely fix
and
a lot of
so
things.
I'm on The Onion. And there was an article about, area woman visits Africa and explains to friends how it changed her Facebook profile picture forever. And it's just a picture of her with these underprivileged poor black children, like handing them food, and they're just like, great, thanks.
Awesome. Like, just like blank stares. Oh, that's fabulous.
It's like, that's the kind of person that's concerned with microaggressions.
Yeah, that's the type of person right there. That person in that fake article. Which is probably pretty true in many respects. But no, I think that's it for this episode.
Oh, I have one last thing.
Okay, sure. We can do one more thing.
I'm going to further date this episode.
Sure, why not? So, we're already talking about wind jammers.
So I woke up this morning.
Yeah.
Going to work.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Okay. What?
Do my,
What?
What? More vodka!
More vodka! What?
More beer!
What?
So I came in, I sat down, browsing email on one screen, you know, checking to see what, you know, happened in the election shit last night.
Sure, sure, the Super Tuesday.
I scrolled past that.
as quickly as possible. Like, let's scroll past this.
Fuck all of this.
Fuck all this nonsense. Let's move on.
Do you know that the other Wachowski sibling?
Yes, I heard about this. Came out as trans now. I did. They're both trans now. Yeah.
And I am wholeheartedly supportive of this whole thing.
Yeah,
I don't.
Sure.
I don't fully get it.
Sure, like, whatever.
Whatever, it's just like, you know...
Do your thing.
I don't pretend to understand women's issues. Right. I will never try to legislate a woman on anything. And this is the same kind of thing where it's just like, okay, guys, I don't know, go! So, they were the Wachowski brothers.
Uh-huh.
And then in 2006...
Six or so, one of them... Transitioned.
Came out as transgender and transitioned to a female.
Yes. And...
And then this week, apparently the Daily Mail, that fucking dirt rag out of the UK,
yeah,
was threatening to blackmail her.
Yeah,
the brother who was still publicly a male,
right? Yeah,
about the whole transgenderism issue,
right?
And apparently this had almost come out several times before,
right?
And they were trying to blackmail her for money, and she said, "You know what? Fine, fuck. Hey, guess what, everybody?
Yeah, I'm trans too. I'm trans too." Which is weird to me that was being kept secret for some reason when your sibling came out as that. Like, what? Like, really. It's bizarre to me.
The only way that I can kind of rationalize it in my head, because, like, that was the first thing. Is like, I read this, and I just stood up at my desk. I was like, hey, everybody, come over here. Guys! You remember the Matrix? So they all come over to my desk, and we're all kind of just talking about this, you know, as rational adult human beings.
Sure.
And the only way that I can add this up in my head is that they both were off. Like, they were both right. not representative of what they were.
Right.
One figured out earlier than the other one what wasn't adding up.
Right.
Metaphysically, chemically, at a certain level. I don't know.
Sure, I don't know. Mentally, whatever. I don't
and
know.
And so, once the other one, like, transitioned, and then the other one was like, oh, maybe that's
the thing?
It, and then I guess that just...
But
I don't know.
But for it to come to it, like that, that's fine. Like, I get, like whatever. Like, but for that to be blackmail issue, like, for you to, like, be like, oh, I have to keep this secret. Why? Your sibling. You see what I'm saying? It's just, like,
I don't get
why that's blackmail. Why it ended up being a blackmail issue.
I would assume that it's kind of a, you know, that's a very personal
thing. It's a personal and private thing, absolutely. Nobody should be made to come out by any reasons for that. That's how Neil Patrick Harris had to come out. He was blackmailed by people, and he was like, oh, by the way, I'm gay. And that was it. And then it was over. And, but, you know, like...
Yeah, the idea of that situation ever forcing somebody to come out of the closet...
Yeah.
Sounds like the most fucked up thing.
It's gross and disgusting. It's just weird to me that it was a blackmailable issue for them, given the fact that her sibling came out already. Why was his secret? You know, I don't really, it's just weird to me.
Just hadn't gotten up the gall the courage, or comfort level to say, hey,
I guess so.
This is what I'm doing in private, and I want to make this my public life now.
Sure, and then, like, where's the Daily Mail thinking? It's like, oh, well, we've got this, and, like, what...
Because they're some of the worst people on earth.
I know, but it's just like, well, like, what? I get that, but it's like, what are they like? Oh, we've got this dirt on you. Like, is it really dirt? Because, like, my brother came out as trans, like, years ago.
Well,
is that really dirt?
Well, like, I think they weren't trying to, like, get money out of her. I think the idea was, all right, so either have the exclusive story with us, or we're just going to break it anyway.
Right, yeah, exactly. That's what it always is. It's always like, well, we want the exclusive or whatever, and that's how they do that. But it's just like, what, like, really? Like, just shut up. Like, it's like, it's, I don't know. It's weird to me.
I mean, at this point, like...
It's all weird.
Whether the person is public or not, you have a transgender person in your family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody does at this point.
Yeah.
Like, pretty you much. Know, it's...
I do. I do. Like, yeah.
We all do.
We all do at this point. And it's just...
Whether you know or not, I mean, it, like, the numbers are something like 1 in 10 men...
Yeah.
...is transgender in some way. Same thing with colorblindness. Yeah. I wonder if there's a... No, no, that's me.
No, wait, that's you. No, wait,
oh, I'm transgender.
No, wait, no, you're just colorblind. Oh.
Oh. So they're not the same? No,
no, they're not the same. Who said they're the same? BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed came out and said that the same amount of people are colorblind or transgender.
They also said people who have small hands. That's, oh.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that. But anyway,
But yeah, that's a really weird sidetrack for us to have. That's That is a May 9th, 2016 issue that by the time you listen to this a year from now, you're going to go, what?
What? we'll do a series of commentaries on The Matrix in celebration of this. How about that?
Ugh.
I don't want to do that. How about you just watch it and do the commentary via Bill Cosby routine? That's a bit dated now, too, isn't it?
Yeah, I can't do that
We can't really do that anymore.
Yeah, thanks for fucking that one up, Bill.
Bill, nice.
Son of a bitch.
Nice job. Yeah, that's the thing you fucked up. That's the worst thing he did.
That's
was
his worst
fuck up your routine. Was fuck up your routine.
Hey, fucking, that's his worst transgression, is fucking up my routine.
And trying to tell me is that I can dodge bullets.
Neil, what I'm trying to tell you is that when you're ready, you won't have to.
It doesn't work with anybody else.
It's an okay Cosby.
It's a pretty good, it's an okay Cosby. It didn't work with anybody else, that bit. I mean, you can't really do that with, like, Jerry Seinfeld or anybody. You know, it's gotta be.
I also don't have another impression that's quite that good.
You could, okay, I take that back. You could do it with, for, if we're going on your impression ability, you could do it with the Fink from WWE. You could definitely do that.
Everybody is the Fink.
Everybody's the Fink from WWE.
Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that when you're ready, you won't have to.
Was it the same cat or a different cat?
Not like this! Not like this!
We found it. We found it. Until he gets dragged into court by a bunch of women, we've got your new routine.
It tastes like Tasty Wheat!
It's Howard Finkel in the Matrix. That's all the time we have for in this episode. The Video Destruct Podcast, the worst podcast in the history of mankind. Check us out at videodestruct.com, on Facebook at facebook.com/videodestruct.
Follow me on Twitter!
Follow Haas on Twitter
at @Haas_buddy.
You can also follow us on Twitter at videodestruct. We will see you guys next time.
Willow, go lay down.